catch up on Kennedy Malloy anywhere. Now use super fast internet anywhere with OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband. No contracts, no wires. OVO.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. Welcome to the big Wednesday hump day edition of Kennedy Malloy. Yes, this is the 14th day of November. How you going, Dave?
Looking good, isn't it?
Did you just shave it off?
No, I've kept it.
Did you shave it off?
I thought I was moving from sort of Alan Border into Merv Hughes kind of territory now.
I think
so.
You're being
really thick.
Very yeah,
you
hopeful.
Are dangerously close to the bikey from the Village People as I stand here before you. Big show today, Jane Kennedy.
It's Mickey.
It's a bit of a food special.
It definitely
isn't it?
Is a foodie vibe today.
Yeah.
There's lead stories of the news today regarding food. We're going to look at that.
We'll get into that. Bunnings will be involved in that chat for
they,
sure.
They will, but there's quite a few food stories we're going to get to the bottom of that
sure.
are quite bizarre. And we're going to look at, well, nanny state. If you've got any nanny state
sure.
ideas, because honestly, if you've heard, there's a Bunnings sausage saga. It's the lead story in the country.
Yeah. Mm.
Of course, we can't
it's
leave
massive.
That alone.
It is massive. It affects us all. It affects us all in our way of life.
It does.
It's an attack.
It's un-Australian, I think, too. We can throw that in.
Oh, that's a word I'd like to bandy around.
Yeah. Speaking of food,
yes.
We're going to speak with our old mate, Mikey Robbins. He's written a book called Seven Deadly Sins and One Very Naughty Food, and it's about the history of food, basically,
right.
and bizarre foods that exist.
Well, he'll be bringing that to the table. I'm going to play you, Jane Kennedy, a speech, an extraordinary speech today, made by Kurt Fernley, who is the New South Wales Australian of the Year nomination. I'm going to tip that you'll go the blub.
Oh, will I?
It's just one of those great moments.
I like Kurt a lot.
What a great Australian, and he speaks from the heart, and I think everyone needs to listen into this.
Good for him. Speaking
stuff.
Of good
yeah.
Australians, great Australians, yes. Caitlin Ford from Matildas, she just got 3 goals
yeah.
last night. Australia 5-0 to
wow.
Chile. We're going to catch up with her because I just want to say
what an effort.
I salute you, Caitlin. Great job
yeah,
for our country.
Her. Good on the girls. Good on the Matildas.
Yes.
Well done. They are a cracking.
Ooh.
Do you
Ooh,
know
that
what?
Was a good game.
Well, we'll talk about this shortly.
Yeah, we will.
But,
we'll get to it.
Malcolm Turnbull is in.
Fantastic.
He's
and
here.
He's talking about Movember, I believe.
He's,
I don't know if he's doing anything for Movember or for
right.
men's health. We'll get to that. We've got Lawrence Mooney.
All right, we'll take
I
your
I want to
calls.
Talk to him about a few things too.
Can we play his apology? Are we allowed
no,
to?
Oh, no, I don't know.
No.
Funny stuff.
I don't think so.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. Welcome to the show. Hi,
hi.
Dave.
Hey,
hi,
guys.
Jane.
Hi,
that, yeah. that Matildas, like I was looking at Australian sport at the moment, and our international teams in general are a bit on the nose. The Wallabies are terrible. The Australian cricket team,
yeah,
I know, but...
I know.
Just,
well, let's be honest.
There's no way of
No, we can't sugarcoat it.
The Australian cricket team, I don't think, has been this bad for some time.
No.
There's not much joy out there, but the Matildas, they could win the whole thing. They are unbelievable.
I think they are on track. I was just looking at the girls last night. I know there's another thing too. I get tweets about this a lot. Still calling them girls. They're women.
Oh, for God's sake.
Seriously.
I call the cricketers boys.
Yeah.
The
Thank
boys
you.
Need to go
and
harder. The boys need to do this.
And I'm pretty sure the Matildas do refer to each other as girls at times. But you know what? They're all smiling. They're all laughing. They're
what about little ladies?
Really
could I
yeah,
say,
that'd work
can
well.
I say little, I really
Why don't you ask that for Caitlin?
Yeah.
Say hello, little lady.
I was really impressed with the little ladies.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they conducted themselves beautifully.
It was an awesome match to watch.
It was indeed.
Last night, congratulations.
What's going on, Dave?
What do you mean?
Have you abandoned ship? Did you shave last night?
No, I have not. It's quite furry, to be honest.
Well, look, don't say furry.
No, I can do like a little secret sound. There it is on the microphone.
And
sounds real bristly,
okay,
doesn't it?
Okay.
Don't do that
if
again.
Can we dump that? Is there any chance we could dump that?
I don't like
no,
that.
We're
I don't like
wear.
That noise.
I think that's possibly the worst bit of radio I've ever been involved in.
There's our ACRA nomination for next year.
Is that a moustache? It just looks like a long nose hair or something.
Oh,
come on.
Listen, you've got a spring in your step.
Well, I have. Well, look, as we know,
yes.
Occasionally...
Well, you've got business things to do.
And you're
going to
be doing...
RDOs.
I have to go. I have to take a day off. I'm coming up this Friday.
What?
And
oh,
Jane
Nick's
Ken,
not going to be
Jane,
here. Did you know that?
No.
And Jane, and I said, well, I'm hard to replace. I mean, there's a lot out there. Who are you going to go with? She's been sitting on it. I find out today who she's...
Who is it?
I've chosen Matt Preston. Matt Preston's coming in on Friday to co-host the show.
Oh, your doppelganger.
Is it so you feel at home? You'll actually call him Mickey.
I will not. No, he's not. He doesn't look like you.
He does.
He dresses very well.
He looks like a seedier stunt double.
I beg your pardon. I'm going to play this back to him.
Looks like a seedy stunt double who's let himself go.
Listen, mate.
With no fashion sense.
I beg your pardon.
You know what it's like.
I know he's got a lot of fashion sense. And he's been wearing a cravat since I've known him, which is a very long time, and at last a bit of class and sophistication will be coming to Kennedy Mall.
It's like Alex Perry's glasses, though. It's like just a signature where you go, oh, look, I wear my glasses. Yeah.
He's just stands
without
the cravat is
he's
his.
Nothing.
Oh, all right. Well, pass that on.
He's a good music lover, too. He loves music.
It'll be so good to have somebody who really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, cowbell in the studio with us.
Oh, yeah. He can sit where you're sitting now.
Yeah, put his feet on the stool thing
in the meantime.
I'll ring in. If I hear cowbell, I'm all ringing.
Dave.
I've got something on, okay?
Something on, Dave. I swear, I walk in today and Mick's phone's going ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
Mind you, you got to change your notification noise too.
Oh,
it's very annoying. Oh, ding, ding. I go, what's going on?
It's what, like a library, our office, isn't it?
You're all in a flap. Oh, I'm just organising a lunch.
What, for your business meeting?
Is this what's happening on Friday? You're organising a long lunch on Friday for you and your mates.
It's a boozy, boozy Friday lunch.
What's in this for me?
Yeah.
What do I get out of it? I'll tell you, tell you what I'm getting out of it so far. I am choosing the restaurant I think you guys are going to go to. I'm looking them up right now.
Make it a good one, would you?
Okay, look, when we come back, we have got a lot of food stories that will shock amaze you.
All right, we're here, thanks.
And you won't be happy.
Okay. Yeah. OVO prepaid mobile broadband supercharged internet anywhere.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
I thought to ask, do we have some music about food? Also, an intro.
Why don't you ask your mate Matt Preston when he comes in on Friday?
Why are you doing
all your food stories today if Matt's coming in on Friday?
I'll have more on Friday for him. Matt can just talk about his worldly travels.
Well, he can't talk about much else, really, can he, then?
I think he might be able to.
You sure you're going to go with Matt? Or go with George Columbus?
No, I'm very happy to go with Matt.
Hey, Matt is a wonderful guy.
I can't wait. That's this Friday.
Mick Malloy. It's a bit forward.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's a bit forward? It's just good to shake it up a bit. Hey, I'm going to talk about some food stories, as I said.
Yep.
And some have horrified me. One, like the dad who thought he'd order a birthday cake for his son from Woolworths. He paid $50 on it.
For what?
Someone's turning three. He once said, I want a green cake, but I want a frog on it.
I want a frog cake.
A frog cake, because that's what they said you could get.
Yeah.
So they said, how old's the son? Three. All right. He goes to pick up the frog cake. And we'll put this on our Facebook. It's a green cake with the letter three on it and two dots for eyes and a smile.
Smiley face.
Smiley face.
It's like an emoji.
There ain't no frog on that. That is disgraceful.
Have a look at that.
But it's green.
Disgraceful. It's a green cake with two dots and a swirl for a smile. Mm. I call bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is the kid gay? Because some bakers don't like baking cakes.
I don't think they're going to take it out on a three-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Doing
frog
that.
Gay?
Do it properly. How hard can it be? It's
all
a frog.
Right. Settle down.
Do your work properly. Here's a problem for me. I love Japanese food, Chinese
food.
You
ever?
I love soya sauce.
Oh,
soya sauce or soy sauce?
Soy.
Yeah.
You say soya.
I said soy sauce.
No, you said soya.
You said soya.
Oh, all right. I say soya. You say soya.
And you said the letter three before too. It's the number three. But I didn't want to pick that up.
Wow.
Well said, Dave. Someone had to say it.
I'm really close to walking out.
Oh, come on. Please.
I'm very sensitive.
Right behind you.
Come on.
You think that's? Imagine if Jane Kennedy walks over,
storms out over frog cake,
being corrected on air.
All right, what are you doing? So what's wrong with the soya sauce?
I'm saying it with a slight accent.
Soya was a space module.
It was too, Russian.
I'm saying how what my sauce. Children hate the way I put on an accent when I speak about Asian food.
Prepared to do it on air?
No, I am not.
We'll do it off air. It's pretty fun.
It is good.
Unfortunately, and the food police are out on this one, they're now telling us that one single tablespoon of the average soy sauce contains 61% of your recommended daily salt intake.
Needs more.
What do you think? We all know
Can we wrap that up? Man, it's salty.
Who cares?
Like
who gives a rat? That's why it tastes good.
That's why it tastes good. That's why we don't have it on everything.
Correct.
And that's why it comes in a little bottle.
And that's why you don't add salt when you put soy sauce on something.
Salt Nazis.
Oh, I'm ripping this story up.
Durfred.
Stupid story.
Well, that's what you get from your soya sauce.
What have you got? Shut up.
Well, this is fascinating. This is fascinating.
Fascinating. That's a big call.
I thought the Australians had no place in space, but we have launched ourselves into it with gusto. We have sent the first meat pie into space.
No,
Australians have done it.
Tell me how.
Well, they've launched a meat pie into the stratosphere for science. Yeah. A group of university students from New South Wales managed to take a meat pie 28.3 kilometres into the sky, well into the atmosphere, and in the process claim... wait till Elon Musk finds out.
He'll be ropeable.
Take a car and stick it. Musk, we've just sent a pie into space.
That's cool.
Hey,
congratulations.
Isn't that fantastic? This is the future of Australian space travel for me.
That makes me smile. It's very...
It really does.
Joyful.
It costs a lot, but still not as expensive as a pie at the MCG.
Yeah.
That's unreal. All right.
Well done for first space...
We salute you. University, is it in New South Wales?
Yeah, they're spending their time wisely.
All right. Here's a question I'm going to pose to you guys, also possibly to our listeners.
Yep.
Is it ever okay to steal from the breakfast buffet?
Yes.
Yes, very self-assured. I say yes.
I don't think I've ever made the breakfast buffet.
Fair enough. The breakfast buffet went beyond 11. Well, look,
do you steal from the breakfast buffet?
I have.
Oh,
I have. Not for myself, for my poor starving children.
Explain what that is. Right. What do you mean by stealing?
When you stay at a hotel, sometimes you get package deals and you can go and...
133353, by the way. Give us a call if you've
If you've stolen and how you do it, more to the point. Because there's a bit of an art to it.
So what do you steal?
Fruit, small boxes of cornflakes or rice bubbles.
I put it to you, that's stealing.
Wow. No, because you pay for your breakfast. We don't go in and not pay for the
breakfast. Do you stick needles in the fruit while you're at it?
I beg your pardon.
Is that the type of thing you're up to?
No.
Well, who knows where your criminality begins?
No, it's not even bad. What it is taking advantage of the buffet that you've already paid for.
You're
too full and you can't fit everything in. And I don't eat from a breakfast buffet because I don't like buffets.
Yeah, but you don't get to go. You don't go to the best steakhouse in Australia and go, look, I'm full now. I might come back tomorrow night and have a freebie, thanks, because there's more food I'd like to eat at this establishment.
It's totally fine just to get a serviette and you just grab
it. You're hiding it in the serviette. You know you're doing wrong if you're hiding it in your serviette.
It's not criminal. If I've paid for my breakfast, I just haven't finished it all.
Are you in on this?
Because sometimes you get the free breakfast with your accommodation.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You can't get in a buffet unless you've paid for it, for a start.
Well, hang on, our switchboard's gone berserk. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take these calls.
Yep.
Have you stolen
from the breakfast buffet? In fact, let's not say stolen.
Can you live with yourself? How did you do it?
It's okay. Give us a call.
I am just outraged.
Oh, you're appalled.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
133353. Jane's opened up a can of worms here.
Old Lightfingers Kennedy.
Who has admitted
that she steals
from the
breakfast buffet.
No, Mick. What it is, listen very carefully.
You've got your thing about the breakfast buffet.
You pay for a buffet. If you go to a hotel or a resort, you pay for a package and buffet's included. I just can't eat it all then at the time. So I just take bits and pieces that I'll probably eat later.
You steal them.
I take them.
But I don't think that's right.
Well, Australia thinks it's right because our switchboard's blown up.
All right.
Let's start with our calls. Peter.
Yo.
Am I going mad or what?
No, I do it all the time whenever we go away.
Every time you go away.
Tell us what you do.
As you say, you pay for your buffet breakfast.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you go down, you have what you can eat, and you have a look around. You go, well, hang on, what are we doing for lunch? Well, there's plenty of bread rolls there.
And what else do you get?
You might grab a bread roll. You might grab a bit of ham, a bit of cheese.
Perfect. In the little butters.
A couple of bits of fruit might slide into a pocket. And, you know, wherever you go, we were in Fiji 4 weeks ago. And... magnificent. You go sit down by the pool, you go up to your room, you make your bread roll or your sango and you
got a little nibble.
Sit down by the pool with a nice cold beer and nice fresh rolls.
Have you bought the beer or have you just found that?
No, I paid for the beer.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. Of course we buy the alcohol.
Good on you, Peter. Good story. Like your style. Stuart.
Stuart, tell us your story. Where have you been last? What did you do at the buffet?
Well, we're in Vanuatu with my wife and two kids.
Love it so far.
See, the South Pacific's coming to hiding.
They do good buffets there.
And my my brother and his two kids and his wife, and they'd always get to breakfast early. So we'd just rock up and they'd say, can we get to a table? And I'd say, no, I'm with them. And we'd just pass in and just, I got away with that for 3 days.
Oh, did you? Did you get sprung in the end?
Oh, only when my brother got the bill.
Oh, okay. Wasn't catering for everyone. Thanks, Stuart, for the call. Hello, Faye.
Hi, Mick and Jane. How are you?
I'm really well. Tell us the state you're in for a start, where you were.
Tasmania.
Yeah, and what happened?
We were staying at a resort up there, and there was a lake around it with a golf course, and there were a million ducks. My grandkids were still in bed, so I thought, oh, I'm going to get some stuff for them for when they wake up.
Yeah.
So I had my pocket stuff full of danishes and toast and a few of the little Vegemite and peanut butter thingos.
Yeah.
And all the ducks quacked and followed me all the way back to the room. So I'm trying to shoo them away, but they just kind of
hit
my pockets to get the food out.
That is amazing.
$100 worth of De Bortoli wines, the delicious rosé by De Bortoli. Everything you want in a pale, dry rosé.
Fantastic.
Faye, those lousy ducks springing
those
you.
Ducks.
Oh, why I order. Hey, Toddy.
Yo.
Tell us about what you think about just having, you know, your fair share at a breakfast buffet.
Oh, you got to get your fair share. It's bloody un-Australian if you don't. If you go to the breakfast buffet when you're on holidays, you are not an Australian if you don't take some kind of vessel down there, smash it under your shirt.
A vessel?
I had a little baby esky.
What?
You know, the little eskies that hold about
yes,
four
I do. Yeah. God, I used to go with the old beach bag, but now the esky.
You have the esky, then it keeps it cool because it's hot in Thailand, right?
Yeah.
So you get the pastries in there. You can make a bacon sandwich, an extra bacon sandwich, cut that in there.
Geez.
About four bits of fruit.
Toddy, that's brilliant. I like your idea for an esky. Thanks for that suggestion.
Well done, Toddy.
Marshall?
Yeah, hello, guys.
Now, when we normally talk about getting sort of free breakfast, it's usually involving little kids. What happened with you?
Well, my wife and I had a night in the city in the hotel in Swanson Street, and my 20-year-old daughter, she wanted to come in and go shopping that morning. So I said, well, meet us at the hotel. So we'd already booked in for brekkie and had showed our room key. And then our daughter rocked up, so I just went out and met her, walked in, showed the room key, and we all walked in and had a nice lunch.
That's another clever
nice
way
hustle.
Of doing it.
Oh, it's a switcheroony.
Yeah. Good
hello,
on you.
Marshall.
Let's just go to Amelia. How are you going, Amelia? What are you reckon about all this?
How are you guys? Look, it's the only way you're going to get around doing Europe without blowing your budget. Is to pack those pastries into your handbag and there's your luggage for the day.
Can someone call us if they haven't stolen anything?
Well, clearly you... Oh, no, you've never made the breakfast buffet.
I've never buffet. Made the breakfast buffet.
Oh, that's fine.
So there you
I
go.
Like that. And we might have time for one
let's
more. Let's go to Bryony.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you going, Bryony? Tell us about your experience.
Oh, Jane, I'm with you 100%. You pay for it, you get whatever you can eat.
Yeah, what
did
you take?
We went to La Boheme on Friday night, thought I'd do the opera off the bucket list.
Yeah.
Stayed at one of the big hotels in the city and massive buffet and get there and they got their tiny little jam jars, marmalade, Dijon mustard, tomato sauce, everything. I looked at my husband, I said, they're good Christmas presents. So I took about 50 of them.
You took 50?
How many did you take?
50.
Yeah, 50 of them.
Okay, Bryony, this could be there could be an investigation.
We might, we might have stretched it a little far. And Bryony's...
I've got all little jars. I've got a few aunts and uncles, so they're going in a little box and... That's what they're getting for Christmas.
Well done.
There you go. Hey, Australia.
Christmas shopping and brekkie in one fell swoop.
That's it.
I'm so proud of you all. And Mick, see, you learn something new every day on this show.
You, I thought, didn't go to the breakfast buffet because you occasionally see people in their pyjamas.
I don't like eating there myself, but it's for my children. You see, no one can say I'm not a responsible
mother. You're a provider.
Mm. I'm a provider.
You're a provider.
Sure, I might stuff it in my pockets. But
hey, when we come back, we're going to talk Bunnings. The food journey continues. What is wrong with the world? You talk about un-Australian. This is un-Australian.
All right, it's coming up right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Your new way to drive home.
Well, we're talking about going to buffets before and perhaps maybe sliding an extra muffin, piece of fruit in your pocket to feed your kids along the way. One of another great things for lunchtimes I used to say to kids is, would you like to go to Bunnings for a sausage and bread on a Saturday or a Sunday? They go, yes.
Of course.
Let's go.
This is the sausage sizzle at Bunnings, which is an iconic feature of our daily life now.
Nothing better. Can
it's
a drink.
It's a pilgrimage.
And a sausage in.
It's an important part of our routine, and you don't mess with it, and there's massive seismic shifts today.
Warning.
Well, what's happened?
A new occupational health and safety requirement has shaken up how they're going to serve the delicacy of the barbecue sausage in bread.
Right, and what's the fundamental change?
They're insisting that the onions now go underneath the sausage, not on top, because the onions could be a hazard.
Over my dead body. You have made a very powerful enemy today, my friends down there.
Yes, I agree. This has become...
What?
Well, people think that they're suggesting, which means it must have happened.
What kind of evil? Yeah. Who's coming up with this rubbish? That is an attack on our way of life.
It is.
It is an attack on an Australian institution. I will go down to the sausage sizzle and set myself on fire.
We could cook near you. Yeah. We get a nice toasty. Yeah.
There's probably a rule.
There's probably a rule about that. Yeah, I'm sure there is. Look, the chief operating officer of Bunnings, Debbie Poole, has said, the reason we're doing it is that onions, if they get on the concrete floor, could be a slippery health hazard. You could slip over. Who knows what might happen.
What about this? Everyone going near the Bunnings sausage has to wear a helmet.
Correct.
I'd rather wear a helmet.
There you go.
I'd rather wear a helmet and still have my onion on
that
top of my sausage.
That is the funniest image, isn't it? Everyone line up with a helmet on to eat.
Maybe put on some high vis.
Yeah.
Get a safety demonstration.
And knee pads.
And we'll all...
This has gone to the top of the land.
What is going on? Yes.
ScoMo.
That's right.
Has said this about this.
Whether the onions are on top or underneath, I'll always be buying sausages on bread, whether it's at the football, whether it's at Bunnings or anywhere I can assist to those great charitable causes. And frankly, I'm not going to give them any recipe hints.
Thanks for that.
Crikey.
It's upset everybody. It started on morning television. Carl Stefanovic, ropeable. Let's have a listen to this.
This will ruin Australia. Australia will not make it through today if this happens. Bunnings, you get a lot of things right, but I'm sorry, you got this one wrong.
What, so you're suggesting the onion tastes different if it's under the sausage?
And you don't mess with perfection.
Well said.
I agree, Carl.
Alex is on the line.
Yes.
Alex is addressing that point exactly. What's your beef, Alex?
Well, I might go down to Bunnings this weekend and get an onion sandwich with a sausage, not a sausage sandwich with onion.
I sense your anger. It's palpable, and I agree with you entirely.
No, that's correct. And it also, do you know now how difficult it is also to get, for a start, to be able to get a stall up? It's a 9-page contract.
It's a 9-page contract.
I've been through it all.
It's a weighty tome.
It is a weighty tome. But there's very, very clear things that you have to get right. You're only allowed to have a specific amount of food items, which is the sausage, the onions, the bread and the sauce.
I get that, but you can't tell us what order to have them in.
I agree. Mm. Don't tell us the order. Chris, what do you think?
Hey, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, guys. I mean, what's stopping me from going into Bunnings, you know, and buying a machete or an axe or, you know, a circular saw, walking out into the car park and slipping over a puddle of oil that a car's dropped? You know what I mean? I mean, it's ridiculous. What do they want to do? Wrap it up in cotton wool?
I think what they're saying is you might slip on an onion ring. Don't stand for it, Chris.
We won't. They will stand up and rise, Australia, against this ridiculous notion.
I'm going to open up one across the road. And mine's going to be really dangerous.
Oh, my God.
Mine's going to have...
You can't do that.
Like a rival.
I'm going to have the stall owner have tuberculosis. Every sausage will have salmonella.
Do you know what I heard once too? someone tried to have grained bread. Like, not white bread.
I beg your pardon.
Like, grainy bread.
Okay.
Get out.
You can have your grain bread.
Be gone.
But not on my watch.
It's
the aesthetic beauty of the white on red on brown.
Correct.
That works for...
100% correct.
All right.
Oh, people have got suggestions of how you can get around it if they enforce it.
Oh, who's that?
Yes, Brett. Hi, Brett. Hey, Brett.
How are you going?
Yeah, good. What are you suggesting everyone does if this happens?
It's real simple. It's all about your perspective. You just turn the stupid thing up the other way. If you want the sausage on the top, turn it so the sausage is on the top. If you want the onions on the top, turn it so the onions are on the top. It's a sandwich.
Brett, I don't like what you've said then.
What, you're...
That doesn't please me.
That's evil.
That's a bit slippery, Brett.
It is a bit.
I don't trust you, Brett.
I think that's un Australian.
Get off our phone.
Brett, don't mess with our...
No, we want to have it how it's been forever, and whoever stupidly fell over on an onion, bad luck. You're an idiot.
University of New South Wales, I want you to send a piece of bread with a sausage on it into space immediately.
Correct.
Up there next to the pie.
Stuff the pie. Stuff, do the sausage the in pie. Bread.
Let's do it. Let's. We've got time for Marcus. Come on, Marcus.
One more. Hey, g'day, Marcus, what do you reckon?
G'day, guys. How are you? Yeah, it's probably my fault. I've been telling guys for years now, don't get your sausage on the way out of Bunnings. Always get it on the way in because I'd rather get onion on their floor than in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you eat your snag as you're walking around looking at your chainsaw.
Marcus, you're supporting our...
Hey, when you got two kids, 3 and 6, you always, you know, you just think about your car, you get food everywhere in this thing.
Yeah, all right,
don't you? And do you trap your children in that play centre area like I maybe used to have?
Hey, it's better than $10 a day, that's for sure.
We got time for one more quick one. Pat, put a footnote in this. What's your worry?
How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, good.
What is it?
I think the best way to protest is probably still come out and buy one this weekend because my sports club has a Bunnings barbecue this weekend.
Go there and support it, but we're going to stand and rise up against the onions.
Well, what are you going to do with the onions, mate? What are you going to do with the onions?
Top and bottom.
Mate, do you know what you should do? You should draw a line in the sand and advertise that you'll be putting your onions on top.
Yeah.
I reckon you get 1,000 people.
I reckon you have a queue and it'll be the biggest fundraiser
you've
ever done.
Which Bunnings is it?
Oh, we're at Penrith.
Penrith.
There
you go. Bunnings, okay.
Come on. Everyone get down there for an old for an old school.
An uprising.
And if for any chance you get the onions and they're on the bottom, tip the table over and punch on with everyone around.
Brick Lane slab, I think, for Pat as well.
Brick Lane,
yeah,
slab
and all your
brick
mates
lane.
Putting it on.
The base lager.
Do you want a lager? A slab of base lager? This is a fine beer.
That's fantastic.
All right.
Well done. Well done, Pat. Hey, coming up next, it's the great Mikey Robbins.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Whether it's back in his radio days or at the Good News Week desk, Mikey Robbins has been making us laugh for decades.
If you don't know what to get Mum for Christmas, why not get the Doug Anthony All-Stars DVD? Chances are, they shagged Mum.
He's even been fat-shamed by the Dalai Lama.
If I'm your physician...
Yeah, here we go.
Your lunch, okay. Dinner should be less.
Now he's written a book called 7 Deadly Sins and 1 Very Naughty Fruit, which has some bizarre food stories.
During the 1870 war, Paris was under siege. Officers wanted to have a feast. There was no food, so they cooked the zoo.
Please welcome Mikey Robbins.
Mikey.
That'd be a bad day to take the kids. On the day they're barbecuing all the animals.
Actually, my favourite dish from that meal in 1870 was camel hump cooked in the English style. And bear claw and a hollandaise sauce. So I said, oh, my God, they cooked Humphrey.
Mikey, welcome to the show.
Yes. I haven't seen you guys since Pussy was a kitten.
We were just saying this. Yes. It's been too long.
Great to see you again.
You too.
And great to see you too.
Congratulations on the book.
This is a beautiful-looking book, and I'm already saying Christmas present ideas for... Yeah. Well, everybody, because...
Oh, it's a stocking stuffer.
I've actually been called that myself, mate.
This is so interesting to me, and I like the way that you've, you're obviously passionate about food.
But what's it called? It's called The 7 Deadly Sins and 1 Very Naughty Fruit, and it's available now. And it's just a great series of essays based around fruit that we may or may not have been aware of.
And the history of fruit.
The history of fruit.
Here's a phrase you don't hear often. Mick Malloy nailed it in one. That's the best description of the book so far, mate.
Thank you, Your Honour. I appreciate that.
It goes through the 7 Deadly Sins from gluttony, pride, lust, sloth, wrath, greed and envy.
Got it.
And we were just talking about the origin of some fruits. Can I say the word pineapple?
Well, the pineapple is, I'm giving away the ending, but the pineapple is the very naughty fruit. Now,
what do you mean?
Who says?
It goes into every topic. In fact, there's a sexual act which I can't describe on air.
I know what you're talking about.
But how could it involve pineapple?
It does. You've heard of the dirty pineapple?
I've heard of this. In fact, I've been offered a pineapple daiquiri on a date.
Okay, we'll leave that. We'll walk away from that one.
It's true.
Okay.
But it's a ripper. It's in the book.
Okay, got to get the book, everyone.
Page 76.
But the first time a European king tasted a pineapple was Louis the 14th.
Yeah.
And he tried to ban them because he thought they were dangerous because no one told the idiot you had to peel them first. True. Oh. But then he almost drove the French court bankrupt.
Yes.
Because he had a mistress who'd only shag him if he gave her a pineapple. And now the thing is,
that's not a euphemism, is it?
No. But
50 bucks a shag.
Well, actually, no, make 10,000 bucks.
10,000.
Back in those days,
no.
To grow a pineapple in France, it cost 10,000 bucks per pineapple to build the glasshouse, keep the glasshouse hot enough. In fact, in Victorian England, if you're like sort of rich but not super wealthy, to show off to your mates,
yes. You
go to the pineapple broker. Yeah, they existed. you put in a healthy deposit and you'd rent a pineapple for the night and then return it the next day.
How much would they pay for the big pineapple?
Take a berserk. Take a berserk, mate.
But it's also gone into the slang vernacular in bowling circles. I did a fair bit of research on lawn bowls, but if you're bowling badly, they say you're tossing pineapples.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, fun fact.
I like this. Now, you've gone into, this must have taken you some time to research. Were you eating everything you've written about?
I think the word you're looking for, Jane, is testicles.
I beg your pardon.
Testicles. I committed myself to the fact that I write about the testicle festival in America, which now features roosters for those who prefer a lighter testicle.
You're saying there really is a festival of testicles?
Yeah, I'm actually the biggest one is in Slovenia where they eat a cubic ton of testicles a day.
Can I put this to you? I mean, here this is always considered a local delicacy. They always refer to
shove that on you, don't they?
Yeah. Are they just trying to get tourists?
Does it taste good?
Massive dicks of themselves. I've told him it's a delicacy. Yeah. He's just ordered the bull's nuts.
The hardest part about eating testicles is not chewing them, it's the slicing. That brings a tear to your eye.
The preparation.
And are they just cooked in a pan with a little bit of butter and a little bit of sea salt?
Here's one my wife prepared earlier.
That's exactly what you do. And my recommendation is, this comes from a 19th century American recipe, where testicles were known as swinging beef.
Wow.
Prairie oysters. And the idea was
prairie oysters,
And the idea was that you had to serve it in a sauce, hot, but not so hot. Basically, a sauce that you wouldn't put your testicles in was the sauce you served your testicles with.
Okay, this is good to go.
Hey, look.
Can I ask you one more question? Yes. Can you come back? We'd like to talk to you more about this because these are fascinating stories.
This is a great subject matter and a fantastic book for Christmas. It's called Seven Deadly Sins and One Very Naughty Fruit by the great Mikey Robbins.
Can I just ask you once more? Claudius. Yeah. Claudius, did he ban farting at the table?
He tried.
This is an Roman emperor.
Yeah, the Roman emperor Claudius. He'd heard about a mate of his who was in Gaul. He was so frightened to fart at a banquet that he passed out. And so Claudius brought in a law to say it was okay to fart during a banquet.
So he's given it the green light.
He gave it the green light. But the weird thing was, he then got overturned. That's a bizarre thing. You could shag your brains out at a Roman orgy, but just don't punch Humphrey.
Well, that's the rules I have in my household, so,
just don't let Fluffy off the chain, mate.
Correct.
Seven deadly sins and one very naughty fruit. Mikey, thanks for dropping by. We'd love to speak to you again at some stage.
Anytime.
Good on you. Thanks, Mikey.
Great book. Get it for Christmas.
You bet. Mikey Robbins joining us there.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Great to have Mikey Robbins. And by the way, Seven Deadly Sins and One Very Naughty Fruit is the book available now.
One Very Naughty Fruit. Lots of calls about pineapple. I'll get to you.
And also, I've heard a few words about an avocado, but you've got to buy Mikey's book to hear
about the
history of the avocado.
Coming up in the next hour, Lawrence Mooney, Malcolm Turnbull, and you want to speak to Caitlin Ford,
who's just
covered herself in a country in glory.
She has for the Matildas.
Hey, now listen, speaking of great Australians, I heard a speech this afternoon by Kurt Fearnley, and this is him accepting the New South Wales Australian of the Year nomination. He will now go on. For those who don't know Kurt Fearnley, three-time Paralympic gold medalist, 13 medals in total. He's won the New York, London, Chicago Marathon, has crawled the Kokoda Trail and the Great Wall of China, sailed on a winning
Hobart
crew.
What an underachiever.
born without the lower portion of his spine and is wheelchair bound. So he's an incredible guy, and he made this speech in accepting it, it's just one of the... I don't know. This is the best of Australia, as far as I'm concerned. Have a listen to this speech.
I'm a proud Australian. I'm a proud man with a disability. I am grateful that I've had the privilege to wear the green and gold for 20 years now. One of the most solitary sports in the world, you constantly have your head down. And for the first time, I think the last time I got to wear that green and gold, you look around and you realise a lot of people have come with you. And when I finally now get the chance to look back, you don't see the race wins, really. The medals are sitting in a Huggies box in my kid's room. You see the moment where my dad found me crawling around the fields playing footy while he watched the Ausday 10K on Australia Day and saw these gladiators in wheelchairs, and he picked me up off the footy field and ran me inside and he showed me what was out there for me. I see a principal who demanded that I would receive public education and fought for me and my family when we didn't even know a fight was there. I see a teacher that whispered to me that I was more than a HSC mark, that the desire that you can build in a person is the most valuable thing that's there. I see a coach that told me that he thought I could be the best in the world and he was willing to take every single step with me. I see person after person that invested with me through kindness and love and generosity. A town of 200 who bought me my first wheelchair when my family begged for them not to. They said, stay out of it, it's between us and the boy. I am the culmination of generous moment after generous moment, kind moment after kind moment. And that is the glue that holds this country together. Thank you to every single person who has carried me for the last 37 years, but specifically the 25 where I have had the pleasure to represent this country, and I feel absolutely overwhelmed with the privilege to represent my state down in Canberra on the 25th of January. Thank you.
Okay. Jane has gone the blub. We knew that was going to happen. And on this occasion, I will allow it because that's an incredibly moving speech. That's it, everybody. Mm. That's if you can live life looking like that and thinking of all the good moments and everyone who's helped you and be positive, ask the best of people, you get the best. Mm. That says everything about where this country should be going and the values we should be honouring. So
well done,
good
Kent.
Luck to you. Yep. And I hope he gets it. I don't know everyone who's nominated at that level.
Sure, everybody's nominated.
But he is a truly outstanding Australian.
Oh, my Lord. Thanks for that.
That was a magical speech.
It was great. Good.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
It's lurching out of control already with the presence of Lawrence Mooney in the house. Stand by.
Stand by, everyone.
Someone's going to get offended, no doubt, at some stage.
I've been laughing and I've been crying. I don't know what this next hour of the show is going to bring us. Well, who knows?
Well, why don't you first of all introduce the former Prime Minister?
We'll get to you. We're going to get to Caitlin Ford, of course.
Yes, someone who's really done something for this country.
Sounds great. We're going to ask if you've ever gotten a punch up over a fart. I know.
What?
It's time to address this. It's the time to address the elephant in the room or the stinky little smell coming out of somewhere.
I don't know if I'll be able to participate.
Well,
I think you'll enjoy yourself. I'm sticking around for that because I know the Moon Man's trouble.
All right. Oh. You recognise that voice? He's formerly the most powerful man in the country. A bit of a lost end these days. He doesn't quite know how to fit in. Well, no. I don't know what the world holds for him now.
Well, you've got to grieve the loss of power.
XPM,
of course you
Malcolm
do.
Turnbull.
Of power.
Well, what are you doing?
You're doing something.
Power. I could do ads for them, couldn't I? Well, I was on Q&A throwing people under the bus left, right and centre.
On the one
hand saying, I'm not going to get in the way of the Liberal Party. Then on the other hand, naming all nine people that started the coup. I was having the time of my life.
You're back. You're causing trouble. What about Movember?
Well,
are you getting involved?
I think it's terrific that Movember is all about men's health, and I urge all of the men out there, you know, to if you've got a problem, ask for help, and if you check out your prostate too. It's very important to check your prostate, Michael. Okay. You're of an age now, you know, where it could, if men didn't die of anything else, yes, they would all die of prostate cancer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Every prostate will eventually become cancerous. Let me get on to the lighter things. When it comes to Movember,
I asked the doctor to use two fingers because I wanted a second opinion.
Good one. The doctor said to me, it's a digital examination, Mr. Turnbull. It's not uncommon during an examination of this nature to get an erection. I said, I don't think I'll be getting an erection, doctor. He said, I'm not talking about you, mate. That's gold, isn't it?
It's all good fun. Get your
anyway,
prostate
check. He was bulk billing. Only cost me $11.50. and that is our healthcare at
that's
work.
It. That's
now
our,
let me talk
that's
about
our serious
Movember
for the day. Dave was going to do a moustache at one
well,
stage, but
Dave
then decided
has got
not
a moustache.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
No, I like it. It looks like you've had a milkshake. Had a cup of Milo, have
Mick
you, Dave?
Has been very tough about Dave's moustache.
A little salt and pepper, isn't it?
It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. It looks very sleazy. It looks very porno. Are you here to clean the pool?
Yes, that's right.
nice pole on your skimmer. Now let me just talk about Movember. Of course, I will never grow a moustache because moustaches have never worked on world leaders, whether they're former or present world leaders. Well, think of the moustache history on world leaders. You got Hitler, Stalin.
Well, both did pretty well there for a while.
Yeah, they
Stalin's
did.
Mo was all right.
Stalin had a great mo, but a terrible man, a despot. Mm. Robert Mugabe, he had the little Vegemite stroke there too. I mean, Fidel Castro.
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan had a big beard. I think Pol Pot had a little Fu Manchu going for a bit. I mean, facial hair has never worked on a world leader apart from Margaret Thatcher. Her goatee was something to behold.
Now, Mr. Turnbull, there's a story your son Alex is going to be financing independence against Barnaby Joyce and Tony Abbott at the next election. What's going on?
He's becoming vocal all of a sudden,
he's
isn't he?
He's a bit of a stirrer.
All of a sudden
he's stood up for Dad.
Senate.
That's what he's done. Dad's been hurt.
He's like a Donald Trump Jr.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Listen, Alex has always been at a loose end. He's had to live in Mar Shadow for a while and, you know, being the son of a very wealthy man sometimes robs you of motivation. So he's had to make his own way in the world and maybe he's becoming politically involved. He lives in Singapore now with his wife and children. Mm. And, I mean, what's a typical day for Alex Turnbull? I mean, some mergers and acquisitions, a bit of corporate raiding and then, you know, what, pop up to Orchard Road to get fitted for a bad suit and then a Thai masseuse in the afternoon. I mean, that's life in Singapore, isn't it?
Well, that's it in a nutshell.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds terrific to me, too.
Hey, how's Lucy traveling? Yeah.
Well, Lucy's going very well. I mean, she is redesigning Sydney. Do you know that she's been charged with that?
Explain yourself.
Okay, well, Lucy Turnbull, Nee Hughes, was once the Lord Mayor of Sydney.
We're very well aware of that, and she did a great job.
And she did a great job.
Retired, basically, just to sort of live a good life.
Is Sydney has been condemned by a lot of people in the landscape and historical areas and architectural areas as a mess. And so Lucy is working on a board redesigning the city. Did you know that?
By what? Well, restoring old buildings or knocking them down and creating new ones?
I think, you know, probably just spending a lot of money and
getting
out to Catalina for some long lunches.
not a statue to her husband.
Well, I think that's part of the redesign. Malcolm pointing just to the bridge. Look at that beauty.
Oh, I love it. It's great to have you back in the studio. What's this next for you? What are you doing in this, just on a daily basis?
Well, basically what I'm doing is funding Alex to fund independence to destroy the Liberal Party. Angus Taylor and Greg Hunt, and that's rhyming slang and Barnaby Joyce, the beetrooter. I'm going to take them all.
ScoMo,
so
what's your feeling on ScoMo?
I heard a true story about ScoMo the other day that maybe I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
We don't want another apology.
Told by ScoMo's brother's new wife's ex-husband's new wife.
All right.
Okay, right. That sounds like one that we run by the lawyers first.
We're going to run it by the legal department, and if it comes out to be clean, you'll hear it right here on Kennedy Malloy. Good on you.
We'll be back with Lawrence Mooney.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy.
From Brisbane's number one breakfast show, Lawrence Mooney.
Hey, congrats.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations. To Marto and Robin.
You cause a lot of trouble up there, but you're worth it. That's how I look at you. You are
high exactly what the boss said to me.
You're a head scratcher for the outfit. But gee, you pull your weight.
He goes, you're like the troubled child. You know, we love you. And we're always cleaning up after you.
And as I stand here before you, he hasn't fired his last shot.
No, I haven't.
I guarantee you.
This came across
anyway, well done. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's very nice.
A stunning result.
Very
and thanks to the supporters of Triple M in Brisbane. What a great bunch of people.
Yep.
They love us.
Yep. Well done, everyone.
We really love them.
Sure.
Jane and Mick, this came across my desk and it marked urgent, top urgent. So I had to rip it open. Top urgent file.
Wow.
This is something from February and I can't believe that I missed it. A pilot was forced to make an emergency landing after a row was caused by a passenger who refused to stop farting. It was a flight from Dubai to Amsterdam on Transavia Airlines, heading to Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Two Dutchmen were sitting beside an elderly man who refused to stop farting, was making no effort to stop flatulating.
They invented the Dutch oven.
No,
what are they complaining about?
Right. That's why people are so skinny in the Netherlands, because it takes forever to cook something and you don't want to eat it once it's cooked. Maybe that's what he was doing. He was trying to get a pizza happening.
Wow-ee.
It's kicked off. They have started...
they got into the old man or what?
They started punching on with the old man. He was returning blows and then...
You don't want that on
the plane had to divert from from Schiphol.
An oxygen mask just have dropped from the ceiling. Wouldn't have that been a sensible solution to this?
Touchdown in Austria. Police have boarded with police dogs. The dogs are just like, we don't even want to go in there. Our sense of smell is quite acute, you know.
Police dogs and masks.
Two women had also become involved in the...
Really?
Melee. It was just people maybe had
I love
lost
a good
minds.
Melee.
But, you know, I don't think it's the first time that it's happened in flight. You know, Sully, when he touched down on the Hudson. That was, who has done that? Oh, we are hitting the water. We can't make the airport. This is gone.
That fight, all I can think of is I'm just glad the only bit of good news is it wasn't a Thai Airlines flight. Because then you're fogging the windows.
Wow.
Then you, I'd hate to listen
Air
to a black
India
a black
straight
box.
Out of Calcutta. Kolkata, excuse me.
Wow. Oh, dear.
The black
oh, dear.
Box, they couldn't find it.
Well, look, it's not the first example of people doing in confined spaces,
well, you're never
letting one go.
Finger.
But I didn't realise that it could cause such violence, you know, that all of a sudden people really get upset.
It can, and I've got an example.
Oh, Jane.
Yeah, it's Jane our own Mick Malloy.
Really?
In a very confined space in a radio
a recidivist,
studio.
Isn't he?
He is. Can we just have a listen to this vision? Listen up, everyone.
It was me on Nova.
I'm sorry, man.
Did he try to pull out it?
The first thing he said this morning is, I'm not running.
That's what I think about you, mate.
Yeah. Bit more choking, it would have started.
That was editorial comment.
That really.
That sounded
like a real pull of the chainsaw.
That was shocking.
Look, they've enhanced that. That's been touched.
I've got it isolated. If you just want to hear it on its own.
No, I don't.
There's been a few incidents, but you want to know whether people have been involved
in fights because of a fart. If you know, like, you know, the old things fart in a space suit.
Have we got BT? In that this is for AFL
Brian Taylor's
in a commentary box, another confined space, and I think he really pushed the borders. This could have carried on after the broadcast.
And you'll hear the siren sounded virtually as soon as this ball's thrown in the air.
Someone's done a pop-off.
Oh, someone's letting Charlie.
Oh, Brian, you better not. Bristol,
Brian,
you
better
not be doing that.
All right, the score.
Yeah, that was a silent but deadly, I imagine.
Yeah, but it's also indicative of, you know, the game's over. He's obviously relaxed the big unit.
Siren's about
just,
to go.
Just ripped one.
And 2 feet away from stepping out of the box.
I like it. 133353, what's your question?
Has a fart ever caused a melee or a punch-up?
When we come back.
Has it caused trouble?
There's a Victorian Supreme Court ruling about such things.
Okay. Really? Yes. You're going to cite a legal case.
I am.
133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, Lawrence Mooney is in studio with us as well. Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And he's bringing some of that number one breakfast show magic to the table today. What's your question?
Has a fight ever started a punch-up off the back of a Transavia Airlines flight from Dubai to Amsterdam that was diverted to Vienna because it kicked off, there was an old man on there just letting rip. Just really opening the lunchbox constantly, cutting the cheese, and two blokes next to him said, that's enough.
Yeah.
Two Dutchmen, by the way, ironically. Said,
it made its way to the Supreme Court in Victoria, a farting situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a guy who claimed he was being bullied by a co-worker who used to, regularly, quote, lift his bum and fart on him or at him every day. And,
I fart in your general direction. Yes. He must have been a Monty Python fan.
And he thought his behaviour was insulting and humiliating. Mm. They used to call him Mr. Stinky.
During the court case, he asked to approach the bench and the judge goes, nah, I won't allow it.
No, didn't you say that? Approach the bench? I'd give that a few minutes, Your Honour.
The ruling?
The ruling was thrown out. No, that they said it's not bullying to fart in the presence of a co-worker.
Well, as the youngest of three boys, I know what it's like to be someone to hold you down and fart on your head.
Oh, yeah, that's a rites of passage. Can I say, the biggest sea change I can remember is when they banned smoking in bars and hotels. Because up until that point, you couldn't smell anything in a front bar.
No.
And all of a sudden, overnight,
that's what's happened,
is it? It's quite a potpourri of different scents and odours going on around here.
That's what beer and peanuts makes.
Hey, have you ever been in a fight or fisticuffs or trouble over a fart, Mick? what happened to you, mate?
Yeah, we were coming home from a party in a cab.
Right.
And one of my mates in the back seat got one. That one ripped.
Yep.
And we pulled into a 7-Eleven store and he tried ramming us.
Oh, who? The taxi driver?
Yeah, we had the back doors open. We were trying to get out. And me and my mate got out and we had another mate in the front seat. And he just took off with him.
Hey, and what's happened? Is he doing a, he's doing a runner?
Or did the taxi driver kidnap someone?
Yeah, he kidnapped someone, and they'll go traveling up the road, and he got out of the set of lights, and he had to buy a pizza to get back home, and then me and my mate were sitting at a milk bar, and this taxi driver's come back, and he's tried to ram us, and he's hit the bollards.
I don't know where this is going. I thought someone dropped a fart in a taxi.
Mick,
but now it's taken a turn.
Oh, Mick. My God.
You've offended him culturally, obviously.
Hey, I'm a taxi driver would be upset because the whole thing would start smelling better. Someone dropped a fart.
Oh, look out. Don't you get in a cab.
No one, one of those trapped in your beaded seat cover, do you?
Hello, Wayne.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, afternoon to us, Wayne.
What happened to you, Wayne?
There you go.
I used to work in a transport company and in the office, it was very small, and we had a couple of ladies that were doing all the paperwork and whatnot. And I used to get in there in the morning after my big bowl of Weet-Bix and Fluffy off the chain, and one thing led to another, and they went and complained to the boss, who come in and started going nanas at me and said, "You've got to stop farting in the morning." I said, "You're joking, aren't you?" I started laughing at him. He said, "Well, there's your first verbal warning."
Wayne, we're going to give you a prize.
I tell you what, you've just won. Man. You've won yourself a push mower kit and hedge trimmer kit thanks to Ego 56-volt outdoor power equipment worth over $1,000. Ego power.
Thank you very much.
You got $1,000, you can fart your ass off as you're mowing the lawn.
Oh, I love
it. No one will hear you. No one will smell it. In fact, it should help with a bit of propulsion.
A verbal warning from HR.
A verbal warning from HR.
Chris.
Yeah, hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Chris. Tell us about your farting debacle.
Right, nowhere near as good as the last two, but we had a big family reunion over in Perth. A lot of the family hadn't seen each other for years.
Yeah.
And right as we were taking the final big round photo, my old man decided that was the perfect time to drop his guts.
And what was their facial expression?
smell cheese.
You could just see everybody's nose start to do that. What the?
Good on you, Chris. That's the idea.
Doing still got the photo. Everyone's still got the photo, and everyone's faces are just that mid.
Hey, good right. on you, Chris. Well done. Do you know the only thing I've ever got in trouble from my mother on radio was we had Mr. Methane in the studio, and it was Mum's birthday, and I rang her up down the phone and got him to fart happy birthday. And it's the only thing to this day she goes, "No, Michael." No. Have we got it
I've
there?
Got I think the audio. Over
kidding. Okay.
I really think you should say hello to Mr. Methane.
Hello, hello, Mrs. Malloy. How are you?
Mr. Methane.
Hello there. They told me to call you Pie Face.
Oh,
I said I can't do that. I'll call her Mrs. Malloy.
Yes.
Because you sound a very nice lady.
Yes. Well, I don't know that I appreciate your style.
What, does it put you off your knitting? You know?
Puts me off more than my knitting.
Well, Mum.
Yes.
We've organised something very special for
now,
you.
And we'd like to serenade you specially on this one day of the year. Are you ready? Let's take it away.
After three, just let me tune up, lads.
This is for you, Mother.
This is a very special command performance.
Okay, the colon's full. Let's go.
I won't forget this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pie Face. Happy birthday to you.
Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Hip,
hip.
Oh, my God, I need to go into therapy. That's just...
Poor
Wendy.
Love you, Mum.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Loz.
Lawrence Mooney, this is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
The goals are flying in for the Matildas.
In what was described as 17 minutes of carnage last night, the Matildas put Chile to the sword, scoring 5 unanswered second-half goals, including 3 from our next guest.
Caitlin Ford, past the keeper. The face, chance for Ford, hat-trick, Caitlin Ford, wow!
As the Matildas storm towards next year's World Cup, please welcome the deadly accurate Caitlin Ford.
Oh, the deadly accurate, the international hat-trick. How are you, Caitlin, and congratulations.
Thank you, I'm good, thanks.
Hey, Caitlin, I stopped tweeting how unreal the Matildas were after you were 2 up, and... It then started to get a bit, you know, out of control. 5 love against Chile. How do all the girls feel today?
Yeah, I know things elevated quite quickly. I think everyone was just very excited, obviously, to get the win and finish 2018 off on a winning note.
You had such a great turnout, not only last night in Newcastle, but at Penrith Stadium as well. You had about 16,000 people there on Saturday at Penrith. And last night, about 12,000?
Yeah, about that. So it's insane. And obviously we love to play in front of the home crowd, especially when that many people come out to support us as well. It's really cool.
Can I say something, Caitlin, just quickly? No offence, but I think you're hogging it. I think you should dish a few off to your teammates occasionally. Think about that.
I've had to wait my first year, so I missed too many games, so trying to make up for them.
All right, and you and Sam Kerr haven't played together for what is it, over a year because of injury, is that right?
Yeah, it had been 13 months last since we played together. I think it was actually the last home games we had against Brazil were the last games actually at Penrith and Newcastle as well, so it's been a while.
Wow.
You stayed around too, which was great, which we love to see and hear about after the game, signing autographs. Who did you have on your wall growing up as a kid as your sporting hero?
I was into surfing, so I had Lane Beachley.
Oh, well, there's a good role model.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was a massive fan of her and Kelly Slater.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, look, we just wanted to say congratulations.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And it was it's a really big deal. And
what a team. This
I tell
the,
you
the
what.
The sky is the limit for
And we better credit Sam Kerr and Emily Gilnick, who also got a goal.
Oh, yeah, they got one
yeah,
each.
Yeah, one each.
But it's not much chop when you think about it, really, is it, Caitlin?
How did you celebrate? I just want to know. Do the girls are going to have, you have beers or do you have rosés?
we had a little bit of vodka, to be honest.
Yeah, good on you.
Oh, I like your style.
Yeah, congratulations, and we wish all the best for the Matildas for the World Cup.
Awesome, thank you, guys.
Caitlin Ford, Kennedy Malloy. Thanks to OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband, supercharged internet anywhere.
Well, it is supercharged, but it's...
I got one.
I beg your pardon?
Have you?
I went and got one.
You've been down to 7-Eleven?
Yep.
You went down to 7-Eleven and got yourself an OVO?
I did.
All right. I went down to 7-Eleven, got myself a pie and a Slurpee.
It's now, so
what,
easy.
Hang on. What do you mean so easy?
I've got it in my bag. Hang on. I've got my big... Oh, no, it's in my office. I've got my big bag. It's a big... You know, you just go down and get it. It's easy.
And what does it do?
Well, you
can
Dave's
get... got one too.
Yeah, I got one.
Am I the only one not to have one?
Yeah, show Mick. Yeah, I got one of those.
Easy.
OVO Boom.
$49.95. 50 gigabytes for 30 days, and you just plug it in. You don't have to have a fixed line anymore. Forget that.
And what happens is it just run out.
No, you just can keep chugging it up, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. Top it up.
But no, I mean charging it. How do you charge it?
Well, you just stick it into your USB.
There you go. USB.
Oh, I'm sorry, you don't understand what that means.
No, you don't.
USB being...
You know the little USB. You know the end of your charger cord?
No, yeah. I don't.
Yeah, the bit that goes into the plug in the wall. Yeah. Yeah, that's called, that's a USB.
But why don't
fitting.
They just say the end of your charger cord?
Oh. Okay, I'm simply going to talk about how good your OVO Boom is.
It's too fast. I've said this, and I'm one for this, but there's, yes, we all want faster internet speed.
But we do, that's what we want.
I think OVO's gone nuts.
No, we're shutting you down.
I think they've crossed the line. It's too fast. It's like, wow, it's like being in the future.
They don't care what you think.
And I like it here.
No, you've got to get on the go with OVO Boom. Get on board now and go and get it. Or you go online.
Wear a helmet.
OVO.com.au.
Get airbags. Because this is the fastest.
Yeah.
No extra fees. No contracts.
OVO.
You can upgrade, downgrade, do whatever you want.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Just about done for another day.
Well, another cracking show. Mm. We've covered a fair bit of ground. And
I've learned a lot about food from Mikey Robbins.
Lots about
it's
food.
It's a great book. Seven Deadly Sins, one very naughty
A little
fruit.
Bit about farting, thanks to Lawrence Mooney, who came in, dropping some of that pure gold that's taken the breakfast show in Brisbane to number one. Mm. Congratulations, everybody.
Well done.
Involved. We're talking fart. When have you farted?
Yeah, I know. You've played Mr. Methane.
To my mum.
Played Happy Birthday, by his bottom.
It's a wonderful sentiment.
I'd be very
wasn't
pissed
a dry
off
eye
if I was in it. I bet.
Hey, who's that?
Melly's on the line. Hi, Melly. You've got a farting story for us.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Yeah, good.
What happened?
Good. My Uncle Horrible and I went to the Hotman Cup in Perth. And just as the player was about to serve, my uncle went forward in his seat and dropped an absolute ball tearer.
Quiet, please.
Oh, mate, it would have killed a brown dog. And
oh, Melly, you were next to him.
Do you know what I love? There isn't much humour at the tennis.
No.
But I'll generally pay that. We forgot a big one. We're talking about, you know, farts that have changed the course of history.
Yes, indeed.
And there was one from the great state of South Australia involving the Adelaide Crows. In fact, it was 1993. They were in a prelim final and they were at a half time in a fairly unsaleable position when someone, allegedly Mark Bickley, dropped a fart, which changed the course of history.
God.
We've got a little summary of it here.
All right.
I think the other guys would have attested that it was ultimately... You know, Bickley's fart that caused us to capitulate in the second half.
Graham Corn sort of called us into a tight bunch and was talking to us and I had a bout of flatulence.
It was outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bomb.
You try and keep a straight face and even Graham was trying hard to ignore it, but no one could.
Yeah, it had a impact.
It was too pungent.
Everyone just could not concentrate. Blokes were looking around to see who'd done it.
The huddle was trying to move as one away from it. And it was trapped in the middle of the huddle. It was trapped. And we couldn't get rid of it.
Those boys.
They
sound like they've been to war, actually.
What might have been What might have been? Could have cost him a flag that fart.
That's quite extraordinary.
As they say in the classics. Who's on tomorrow?
We've got Limo.
Limo.
Yes, he's on our show tomorrow. Lots more.
What about
stories
you, Dave?
Well.
Are you going to have a crack at growing a moustache?
I will.
You're running out of time. You've got to. How far into it?
We're halfway through, aren't we? 14th of November.
We are. And you know what we're doing tomorrow night after the show? Talk about it tomorrow. Mick and I have been auctioned off as a date.
Oh.
As a double date.
Yes. We're going out with people and I don't know how I feel about this. And if you say you're a 50-50 chance, 50-50. Say that or I will kill you.
What's the restaurant again? I can't remember.
Hey,
I'll meet you there.
A lot of social action on Kurt Fearnley's speech that you had earlier today,
absolutely.
Mick, and it was a brilliant speak as part of the New South Wales Australian of the Year.
Have
you missed
listen.
That. Yeah, grab the podcast at kennedymalloy.com.au. Or wherever.
Not too late to enter politics, Kurt.
Yeah, you've
got enough monkeys running the joint.
Limo tomorrow. We'll see you then for a bit. Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. See what else you've been missing out on. Get on Ovo Boom prepaid mobile broadband. Super fast with no contract or wires. Ovo.com.au.